Welcome to episode 3 of Making It to Sunrise with Dick Dragon and Michaela. Today we're talking about what is hard to learn, hard to keep, what you need to have, and what you should always be finding new, basically boundaries for yourself.
Boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Healthy. I was like, wait, did we change? I was confused.
Healthy boundaries.
Healthy boundaries. Yeah, because what are boundaries? We want to talk about boundaries tend to be, please interject, rules, I think, that you kind of set for people in your life based on how you feel about things and things that maybe hurt your feelings. And it's about having, you know, some self-worth and self-confidence. And when someone does something that inhibits that, you're being like, hey, when you do this, it makes me feel this way, so I need you not to do that. So it's identifying what those things are for different avenues of your life and saying, this is okay, but this is not okay.
Oh, yeah.
And if you do this after I've asked you not to, here's the consequence. And it's really, I feel like something new people have been talking about in the last 5 years or so. I feel like a lot of these things are, at least are things that I didn't hear about until the last 5 years. No one said like, oh, set your boundaries. I'm like.
Which it's funny because growing up, everybody would talk about, oh, well, I'm going to draw a line in the sand and you better not cross it. I'm like, that's been, you know, that's boundary.
That's a boundary.
Do not, you know, for people at work, for me, my boundary was, I'm not going to tell you about my private life, so please don't cross that boundary and we'll be great.
Mm-hmm. They're not allowed that level of access to you unless they meet you to a certain extent of friendship. Yep. I would assume.
And
right.
Yeah. And for me also, it's a level of comfort. It's dip my toes in before I show them how really weird I can be.
I love your weird. So when someone breaks your boundaries, you can have like a loss of it's a loss of safety and security.
Yes.
And it can trigger in some people that fight, flight, or freeze.
Yes.
Depending on what the boundary is, if you're talking about a hard or a soft boundary, or if it's a big thing or a little thing, depending on the boundary, some are not always as great. You know, it can trigger flight, or freeze. And people in our brain and make us wildly uncomfortable because it's our sense of safety and security.
And as a people pleaser, none of that matters. There are no boundaries. Allow people to step all over them. And so whether you experience either of those steps, either any of those responses, it doesn't matter because you're going to sacrifice your boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Because you want to make them happy.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. People pleasing is a horrible, horrible thing that so many of us have gotten in the habit and we're trained. We need.
Oh, yeah. It starts with family.
Yeah. You know. It starts with family. Did you want to talk some about hard and soft boundaries?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When it comes to boundaries, there are, it's basically your non-negotiable boundaries. Like, you know, please don't cheat on me or, please don't put surprise things in my food that make me sick overnight. And so that was actually one boundary I never thought I would have in my life, or, you know, please don't fuck with my food. And we actually, both of us came up with, and we're just like, yeah, that was sort of an unspoken one. We're both like, no, we get that. And when it was brought up, we were like, well, yeah, no.
Yeah. We were kind of like, well, what boundaries, when we decided to do this, we're like, well, what boundaries do we have? Because you should have relationship boundaries. We're like, we never really sat down and talked about boundaries.
Because I would never put pickles on your food.
So. How people think pickles are edible, I have no idea.
That's sparked that conversation. Yeah. Because I would like feel like I would never bite a pickle on your plate. I would never fuck with your food because I've had it done to me. And I'm like, that's a strange boundary. I never thought I would need to. And so we will never be the food prank couple.
Nope, never.
But then there are like softer negotiable ones depending on. Yeah, for most people, you know, they call them little white lies, and it's like, oh well, it's because there was a purpose behind it. I'm like, you know, and I know some people that's a hard is a hard no for a lot of people where it's like, no, a lie is a lie.
Yeah,
and some people maybe that's one where it's like, oh, there are factors into negligible boundaries, but there are. But you know what? The ones that are cut and dry, where you're like, no, I cannot have this in my life. Right. Hold fast to that.
Right.
I mean, clearly, because again, with trauma, PTSD, and it's one that, you know, you have had an issue with people just trampling all over it, doing the cha-cha on both sides of that sand line in the sand. So,
and when you set boundaries with people, you need to be honest to yourself with what your needs are. You need to make sure also those boundaries are reasonable.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't mean you don't have self-worth, but you can't set a boundary that's completely irrational,
yeah.
You know, so it's got to be reasonable. And you want to be kind when you set the boundary. You don't want to be in the middle of an argument and start screaming at someone sending boundaries. You want to be cool and calm, collected, sit down and have that adult conversation and communicate to, hey, when you do this, it makes me feel this way. So, you know, this is like what I need you to do. And if this is what's going to continue, you do that, then I'm going to have to do that. So you need to be honest with yourself, honest with others, and you need to be clear, not wishy-washy about the very specifics of it. Don't assume they can guess what you mean.
Yep.
You know, right? And you need to be clear what those consequences are when they break those boundaries. Because it's fair if you're like, you can't do this ever, and then they do it. Well, what are you going to do about it? And it's not an ultimatum. That's different.
Oh, yeah.
Very different.
Yeah, and reading some of these articles where they're like, well, you know, set this boundary with your partner, but let him know that you're not going to be intimate with him for a week if that boundary is crossed, which, yeah, using sex and love as a weapon or a reward, like, has never sat well with
me. Yeah, me either.
If honestly, I mean, look, if that's a boundary where you're like, I don't want to be intimate with you because you are crossing this boundary and I am uninterested, that is a healthy boundary. Using it as what's the word I'm looking for here? As a reward, but you know, to entice somebody into something they are already having a problem with doing. Is not a healthy boundary to accept for yourself too.
Right.
You don't want to bribe somebody into loving.
Yeah. Cause I did see when we were reading some articles and stuff about this, I did see on a couple like therapist web pages, some talk about intimacy, you know, where they're saying, tell your spouse, your partner that you won't be intimate with them for 4 days if they do this. Well, what the hell does that mean? That on the fifth day you're required to be intimate with them, because then your intimacy becomes a transaction. It becomes a reward. Intimacy shouldn't be a reward. It shouldn't be required.
Yeah.
It's consent. And I don't think it should be planned like we're going to be intimate and da da da. You know, because on the fifth day, you know, she or he could be like, okay, it's time to bang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
I did my time in jail. Basic requirements to.
Yep, I did my time in jail, so now you gotta jump on it or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, and that's not how it should be. Yes. You don't use sex as a weapon, and because sometimes you know that intimacy can help you heal too.
Yeah.
So you know, maybe someone broke a boundary, but you're also like, this is, you know, some sort of something happened. There's some emotions, and you're feeling bad. People can heal through intimacy also. So making intimacy a boundary like that, I really hate, except for the cases of maybe someone saying to their spouse, hey, when you come home from the bar after hanging out with your friends all night, it could be a man or a woman, whatever, and you come home smelling like alcohol and cigarettes, I don't feel like being intimate with you that. That's different because that's like, hey, if you are drunk, I don't want to sleep with you. That's okay for that night. I'm not going to sleep with you for a week. I know I'm not in the mood when you do this. So I want you to know now, don't even bother trying.
Yeah.
That's also a boundary. To me, that's a much more realistic boundary for people to put in place than say, like, you were out with your friends last night and you didn't hang out with me. So now we're not going to be intimate for a week. That doesn't make sense. Because maybe someone's like, well, I didn't want to for a week anyways. Yes.
Yeah. You know, but then at the same time, a boundary like that, what would be the reasoning behind it? Would it be solely because the other person is feeling hurt because they went out the night before, had a good time, now they want to have a good time, now they don't want them to have as good of a time? Or is it because there's a history of them going out and getting really fucked up, coming home and being sort of a dick?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that would be a healthy boundary too, saying, hey, if you're going to come home inebriated, I don't want to be around you because I don't like the way you act.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if you're going to go out and be drunk, go home, crash out on the couch, or go home, go to bed.
Exactly.
But I am uninterested in interacting.
Yep. And I've heard people say that too. Like, if you are going to be doing X, you know, like, I don't want you to come to the family gathering.
Yep.
You know, and that can be a family saying that to someone. That can be a spouse saying that to someone. It can be someone saying that to whatever. It could be a friend or a coworker, you know. And, you know, I just, the top of my head are things along with drinking and, you know, like dependencies of different types. But it can be like, I don't want you to come if you are actively, if
yeah.
you are actively doing something like this. Those are healthy boundaries.
Oh, boundaries with family.
Boundaries in a family.
Yeah. Because there were no boundaries with my family. My family knew everything about us that was happening all the time. Good, bad, or anything. Which I know most families would be like, well, we're a close family. And I go, yeah, but when it's really, it can be embarrassing shit for the kid.
Not everybody needs to know. So they told everybody's
oh,
business?
Yeah, everybody knew our business. Yeah, no. Well, like, everybody knew.
My family is very much the, we want everyone to see that we are a perfect family. Mm-hmm. And don't you dare talk about anything being wrong in the family.
Yeah.
Because we want everyone to perceive us being a perfect family. We want everyone to perceive, you know, my mother and whatever being the perfect mom, us being the perfect family. But then she would turn it on us and tell people like, oh, we were so hard on her. Oh, we were so at family gatherings. And I'm like, and I'd be like, what did I do?
Yeah.
Like, that was so hard. I never once got detention. I never once did you get a call from the school. I was misbehaving my entire schooling. I didn't do drugs. I didn't smoke. I never skipped school. I never did all this shit that people did on a regular basis. I stayed home and I cooked and cleaned and I babysat my younger sister. Yet my mom continues, probably still, to tell the family how hard of a kid I was. And I would be like, well, what did I do? Oh, you were hard on me. And she would announce that to everyone. And I know I had asked her, I'm like, why would you say that? Oh, because you were hard on me. And I'm like, I don't want you telling everybody that because you can't say it to her. They can say it to me. And they would also say things to me all the time, like I think I've said before on here, you know, I'm like the alternative black sheep in the family. Everyone else is very Christian, very religious, very very more straight-laced, let's go play golf, you know. And that's just not me, and that's fine, that's them. But they would make fun of me and laugh at me and tell me they didn't like my hair, they didn't like the way I dressed. They didn't like the way I did my makeup. They didn't like the jewelry. They didn't like that I wear skulls and black. And they didn't like the alternative things about me that made me happy. But it wasn't like they just stated it once. They stated it continually. Every time I saw them, it was bashing how I look. And it was, you just want attention. And I'm like, really, I don't want attention. It's just, I'm like, I'm wearing black. Do you think I'm trying to call attention to me? I'm trying to blend into the corner so everyone forgets
I'm here. I want
to
hide in the shadows because that's where I'm comfortable.
Right. And they just, and so I had told my family several times, like, I don't want to show up if you're going to talk to me like this. And they blew me off, but I didn't stick firm to that boundary for a long time. For a long time, because I would say it and they'd blow me off and tell me it was me. So when I got older now, a few years ago, I ended up having to cut ties with my family because it's one thing to say, I don't like your look.
Oh yeah.
And that's painful enough. But when someone's like, I know you don't like my look. I know you don't like my belief system. I know you don't like all these things about me. I already know. You don't need to tell me every time you see me, right? Like, here's my boundary. The thing that I have problems with is going forward with the consequences for that boundary, because that's really hard in a family, especially to a parent. Like, you're an adult and you have an adult parent to say there's going to be a consequence for you, the parent, if you break a rule I'm setting.
Oh, yeah.
It is so, I had such struggles with that.
I had friends who their parents would take the doors off their bedroom.
Yeah. I thought about doing that. never did, but
yeah,
I thought about it.
You no longer are allowed a door.
Yeah. But it's like boundaries are hard and boundaries with family are hard. And I tried setting boundaries with my family about so many different things and they just laughed it off and said, I'm this person or that person, and I can do whatever I want with my granddaughter, or my niece, or whatever. And whatever I said didn't matter. And so for me, what happened is at a certain point, I'm like, I'm done. You no longer have access to us because you keep breaking these rules that I've set in place. Like my daughter, she would spend some time with grandma now and then, not a lot. And in the winter, she liked to have my daughter, who at the time was really little, walk down her driveway and get her mail and walk back up. Well, we live in Minnesota. It was like 20 below. And several times over, like when she was at her grandma's, a lot, but enough, she'd walk down the driveway and she's like, oh, she slipped on the ice. Like it is a glare ice driveway. And you're having like an 8-year-old little girl walk down a glare ice driveway to get your mail because you don't want to.
Yeah.
And I said to her, I don't want her doing that. I don't want her walking out on your ice driveway to go get your mail. Like, she's like 7 and 8 years old. It's 20 below. She doesn't need to put on grandma's boots and go collect your mail if she's seeing. And my mom's like, well, she can help. But me as a mom said no. But my mom continually broke that boundary. So then I think I told her she couldn't have her over the next time she wanted to because she was going to make her check her mail. I was like, no. I think I got off. But boundaries.
Yeah.
They're hard.
They are.
They're super hard. So then.
Yeah, especially with family when, you know, again, it's always. But they're the ones who, you know, you can always count on. You can always talk to. You can always, but. Not really. No.
So have you set boundaries that had consequences that work? Either in family or relationships or with people?
Yeah. Stop cheating on me. Or
obviously not me. Not me.
Or our marriage is over. No. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, and that's how, you know, mine went too. My ex-husband continually broke boundaries, I said. And they were realistic boundaries. Oh, it was quit chatting with other women. Quit doing it. You know, or we're going to get a divorce.
Yep.
We went to marriage counseling twice. You know, I mean, granted, there was more to it. But, you know, when you have a young child and you're at dinner somewhere, or breakfast, sounds breakfast usually, and the young child is playing on your spouse's phone, and luckily the child can't read yet, the spouse could. The ex-spouse. It's like, mommy, my game's stuck because daddy got a message. She hands me my then husband's phone and I look and there is like basically net sexy messages from another woman. Luckily, our daughter was too young to read. And then when I open it up, because he's in the bathroom, I wasn't even searching his phone. I open it up and I scroll and there's pictures of some woman, whatever. And it's like, he's like, in theory, he never cheated. He never did any of that. And I believe he didn't. He just liked the attention of talking to other women. He liked to get that gratification because he made himself seem much more bigger and much more interesting than he actually is. And he really enjoyed women being like, ooh, really? Because he would like tell some lies and make himself seem better. Yeah. And these women would be like, oh, wow, da da da.
Well, it's because it's a fantasy world. It's a fantasy. You can be whoever you want to be, which is not yourself.
You know, and originally I'm like, if you want to blow off a little steam and not have a relationship and have a 20-minute conversation with someone you are never going to talk to again, as long as you don't lie, say you're single and try to build a relationship, like, if you tell me about it, I really don't care. And to me, I know that's weird. I know people have told me that is so fucking weird. They're like, you gave him too much slack. No, I gave him too much trust.
Yes.
I gave him too much trust because he took that and he ran with it and never told me he was doing it. He would build these superficial relationships and be on his phone talking to other women, getting pictures from other women and all this stuff. And like, you know, in the end, when I found this had happened again, I was like, I'm done. I'm done. I don't care that you never stuck your parts in somebody else. Like, obviously you have no respect for me. You broke this boundary over and over and over, and it's done.
Yep.
And it just had to be. So, but it's hard. It's hard to keep those boundaries. It's hard to do all that. And it's not easy.
No, not at all. It's even, like getting to the point where, like, I'd always known she liked using false contacts in her phone to be like, oh, no, I'm just talking to, no, I'm just talking to my friend. Oh, I just got my new haircut. Yeah. I'm gonna send her a selfie of my new haircut. And then seeing them a few days later, and she's like, oh, I couldn't wait to see your new hair. Oh, it looks so great. I've never, this is the first time I'm seeing it. I'm all.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And yeah. Again, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you know what? And you're like, yep, nope. You know what? I'm like, no longer a boundary when clearly, yeah, I mean, sometimes the boundaries are thrown in your face. Like, oh, you're right. I am not gonna cross that boundary. Yeah. Oh, I'm not gonna cross that boundary. I'm just gonna keep.
And they keep doing it,
jumping back and laugh forth, that they get away enjoying with it. Yep. And yeah, and doing, you know, the fucking Charleston on your line in the sand.
Yep, yep. And they love it. They love getting away with it.
Yeah.
And that's hard. So how do we set? So I think I talked a little bit in the last video about setting boundaries with people and setting healthy boundaries. And when I got divorced. The boundary I set with my ex-husband, I have set several, is one of the first ones I started with was, you cannot relay messages through our child ever.
Ooh, yeah.
Ever. I said, even if she comes home and tells me that you asked her a question to ask me, I'm going to ignore it like I didn't hear it. So I'm telling you that now, do not relay a message through our child, because I'm going to pretend I didn't hear it. So, because we do not want to get her in the middle of what's happening between us. Yeah. That was probably the very first boundary I set, because him being a narcissist, I know he would blame her, or he'd blame me, saying, well, I told her, and leave our daughter in the middle. And I'm like, fuck it. We're not putting a child in the middle of us. That's bullshit. Mm-hmm. You don't send messages through children. And then like once we separated and stuff, he would call me and like still yell at me and still belittle me and still be so disrespectful and rude. And, but at that point, I kind of snapped one day and I just said, and this is a boundary that I set hard and we still have it set to this day. I'm like, if you cannot speak to me with respect, and if you're going to yell at me, you are not allowed to speak to me at all. And I click a hang up. Holy shit. Did that make him mad the first dozen times?
Yeah.
He would keep calling back, screaming at me, and I keep hanging up on him. Like, oh, still yelling? Okay, fucker. Click. Back the fuck off. And that drove him nuts, because he realized he didn't have that control anymore. We were getting a divorce.
Yep.
He wasn't allowed to speak to me unless he calmed his tits. Unless he calmed down. So it doesn't come up often. But now and then, every once in a while, I still have to pull out that card. I'm like, if you can't speak to me with respect, you can't speak to me at all. Mm-hmm. Click. I don't give a fuck what the conversation's about. Yep. The other boundary that we struggle with, which I know I've talked to you about, because I mean, hello, we live together, is he used to live in this house, so he knows the code to the house.
Yes.
And he gets way too comfortable just to walk in the house. And even though him and I have discussed 12 million times, and I'm sure I'm exaggerating maybe by one or two times, but that he is not allowed just to walk into the house whenever he wants. He's not allowed just to come and hang out, but he still feels so comfortable here that he just thinks he can. Yeah. And I've changed the code on the door. Yes, I have. But my daughter needs to have it. She needs to have it.
Yeah.
So who ends up getting it? Because our daughter has it. He ends up getting the code. So there's really no way to change it where he's not going to get it.
Yeah.
Because he's going to get it from her. Now, granted, he will, every now and then, we'll get in it a little bit. And I'm like, you can't just walk into my house. Because he's done this with him and his wife. Just walk right into the house. Oh, we want to talk to you about something. And I'm like, I don't even know your address.
Yep.
I've never been to your house. I don't have a key to your house. I'm not just walking in your house.
And it's not your house to invite somebody else into.
Right. Like, you can stand outside, ring the bell. If I answer, I answer. If I don't, I don't. So he'll respect that for a while, and then every once in a while he forgets, and he'll just start, oh, I'm coming in, is it okay, as he's walking in the house. And I'm just like, that one we still struggle with. It's a boundary. He knows it's a boundary, but he's also a narcissist, and since he lived here for a small bit, you know, we got divorced shortly after we moved in, he he still feels that comfortable, like, I can walk in because we bought the house originally together. So he still feels comfortable like that, where he should.
Yeah.
So just wait for him to walk in while you're here one day. You'll be like, what? Feel free to be like, what the fuck are you doing in this house? In my house. Say, in my house. In your house.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Ask him. Mm-hmm. Ask him what he's doing in your house. God, I love
it.
Holy shit, nuggets. I want to see that happen. I digress. I just thought, how that'd be great.
And do you know how you're able to get all these wonderful boundaries?
How?
It took time to learn your self-worth.
It really did.
Mm-hmm.
And that had to come. And, you know, I got to be able to set more boundaries the more I learned my self-worth. You know, because then you realize that you're worth saying no.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You can say no, and it's okay. So our next episode is going to be on, guess what?
Self-worth?
Self-worth.
Is it self-worth?
Yeah. And finding your self-worth after a breakup. That could be a relationship, a family relationship, a work relationship, or whatever. So we're going to talk about how the fucking goody goddamn hell do you find your self-worth when you feel worthless after some
sort
of breakup.
It's not easy.
It's a journey.
It's a struggle.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about it. We're going to get into it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are. Oh, yeah. Always.
Care you guys. Thank you.